Hello, everyone, and welcome to the very first episode of Get Out of Rap for 2024. So, it's fifth year, believe it or not. And I'm really excited that I'm joined by Joe Bonser, Client Experience Manager at DDC OS, DDC Outsourcing. Lovely set of people and a lovely person to kick off the year with. So, welcome, Joe.
Thank you, Martin.
We've been looking forward to this for some time, and we were just talking about you are back from Sarajevo, the site out there. Busy, 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 but a lovely location. If you could take yourself back to when you first started on our industry, did you think you'd be going to foreign countries and sharing your expertise over there?
Absolutely not, no. I started in utilities when I was a tender age of 26. So that was some years ago now.
I'm going to say a couple.
About 26 years ago. So I started off in contact center. So never did I dream that this is the career path that I take. I suppose I was wanting something different. In order to get a career at the time, I thought, you know, let's get into a big organization. And so that's what I did. So I even probably started out not thinking I was going to stay there for 22 years and move on. And things happened. And I think working in contact center and organizations, if you move from role to role, sometimes it's almost like working in another business, you know. So I didn't feel the need to sort of move around into other businesses back in the day. In the time, I was just enjoying my time where I was working. So, but no, I didn't dream that I would be working in Sarajevo.
You're off the mark already. What a great point. It's so overlooked when we're thinking about attracting talent into the industry. For example, yeah, you're spot on. Moving from, let's say, operations on the phone, being a team leader, whatever it may be, into any one of the myriad of support functions feels like you've changed. Well, it is changing roles, but it feels like you're in a new company sometimes. And that kind of variety, I don't think we talk enough about in our industry.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, even moving from the phones back in the day to what we used to call CS4s or lead advisors now, entity manager, all of those for me was so different. You know, all the training that you got without the insights, the exposure that you had to different meetings, different levels in the organizations. And again, that, you know, that transition there felt like different roles and different little communities that you were being exposed to, I suppose, throughout your career. And the learning and development that I gained from the contact center work and working in operations is just invaluable. Absolutely love it. And I do love being in a busy operational environment. So it was great for me to get back out to Surrey, where it was indeed that. So yeah, I think that's where my roots are, and that's sometimes where your heart stays, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. Did you find then, you've already mentioned a couple of times the aspect of learning and development. Do you think even, was it conscious or subconsciously you were thinking, oh, I really like this, because you're getting exposed to it yourself personally in all of these changes and as you start to progress, because that's always been a big passion of yours. Did it kind of start through experience, or did you seek it out?
Well, personally, I've always been a bit of a seeker outer of developing. So I always used to think when I was younger that 1 year left without a qualification was a year wasted. Now, I'm not the cleverest of people, don't get me wrong, I didn't do great at school, but I went back and to college. So 1 year I did maths and I did English, then I did psychology, you know, eventually I trained to be a counsellor for 4 years. And the skills that I gained in doing that, meeting different people and just expanding your learning or relearning, you know, is something that I've always liked to do. And when I started working in contact centres, we had an amazing trainer and they had some great leadership training. And the leadership training really took me back to my counselling. So a lot of the things I'd already knew around, you know, ego state, you know, parent, adult, child, how we communicate with each other, limiting beliefs, all of that type of thing. I learned a lot of that through my time training to be a counsellor. And a lot of that comes into your day-to-day as a leader in an organisation. Putting that or moving that from a counselling space to a leadership space, because there is obviously a big difference in that. However, a lot of the skills are transferable. So I continued to learn, and I've always sought out my own development. I've never really waited for anybody if there's a development plan or something. that, you know, that I want, that I was interested in. I like to read some books. I like to listen to some podcasts, but I'm not doing it constantly. It's when something strikes my interest. But my big interest is people development and really supporting people. Like, I had a lot of support on my journey, and that's what I really love to do, make people's lives nicer at work and be supportive. So that's one of the areas of my focus always.
I love so much of that. The concept of going back to learn. And I think, you know, with teenage children myself now, and the pressure sometimes they feel around their exams and qualifications, without wanting to take away from them, and they are important, but it's their belief that this is it. You know, if they don't do well here, that's it. And to be able to say to them, well, it isn't. No one's going to stop you learning after you've left school or done it. So I love that to hear that you've done that. And you also mentioned counselling. Just touch on that. What's your experience there then?
So I trained to be a person-centred counsellor many years ago before I had my first child. So she's 22 now. And so I worked voluntary with domestic violence, people who suffered domestic violence. I've worked in schools and also a local counselling centre voluntary. So I had a lot of experience with, you know, counselling different people from different ethnicities, different walks of life. It's very humbling. You know, it's very humbling when somebody wants to share what they're going through and looking and reaching out for that support, knowing that they want that support. So I think, you know, it was a great opportunity for me to be able to do that and to be able to, in a very, very small way, support somebody at a time in their life where they felt they needed that. So very humbling.
Wow, you've done a lot.
Yeah, so what I did, I mean, you know, your career takes lots of paths, doesn't it? And you don't have to have a linear career where you're going, you know, where you're going upwards. You know, you can do lots of different things. And I think, you know, when I think about my life and what it is that I'd like to achieve from my life, I think it is people, isn't it? We're all human beings, whatever level we are, whatever we do, how much money we've got or we haven't got. I think the most important thing is that interaction between two people. I think we can get that right and we can help and support each other, then I think that I've done my bit, you know, so just that little bit. I'm not going to change the world. I'm not a scientist or anything like that, but what I do is I try and give each day. You know, my dad was a sergeant major in the army, and he would always say, brilliant, absolutely amazing role model. He would say, John, if you're working with people, you know, you just need to choose your mood. So I try and be stable all the time, so people can approach me. I've worked with people before who one minute are really stressed, the next minute they're being a bit funny with you. I've never wanted that. I want people to be able to approach me and think, it's Joe, it's fine. You know, chill. I can have 5 minutes with her. I don't have to worry about contacting her if she's too busy, because sometimes people just need you. You know, whatever level you're at, you don't have to be a leader for that. It's just making time for people. If you're just little things, if you're asking somebody how they are, you know, have the time for the response. Don't be walking past and asking it, because if somebody then just wants to go, oh yeah, I'm okay, well, they might not be okay. It's just that fleeting moment. So I used to love the office. I was just thinking that the coffee machine talks were always great, because you did have a little bit of a breathing space. So be mindful of what you're giving out. So if I don't have time to see how somebody is because you just rush into a meeting, I just go, hi, Anne, you know. So, but if you're asking, how are you, take that time for that response. So just little things, I think.
So many, well, little but significant, because there's so many nice takeaways there, especially around that kind of being consistently approachable. I and just that kind of people know, they don't, like you say, they don't have to. The moment you said that, I've thought about people that I've worked for, both predominantly good, tiny few, where you were quite tentative about, you'd be thinking, dependent on which version of this person I'm getting, I'm either going to talk about this or I'm not, you know, and you can tell, can't you? So just being conscious of the vibe that you're putting out, such a key part of leadership. And for some, I think it comes naturally. For others, it's something to work on, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, there's none of us perfect, is there? You know, we're all human. And if we get something wrong, we own it and we recognize it and we move on and we try not to make that same mistake again. Because when you're working in contact centers or anywhere, really, I'm talking about contact centers because that's where I work, but in factories, in warehouses, in banks, wherever, you know, every single person is individual, and how some people like to be communicated with is different to how somebody else would. So it's about, you know, understanding, you know, your immediate team and just how they want to interact with you and how you like to be interacted with as well. Because don't forget, being a leader or being a person, there are two of you there. And so you're only 50% of a relationship. The other person is 50%. So if you both give you 100, you know, you're doing well. So yeah, don't forget that as leaders, you're people as well.
So would you say then it's interesting as well, you mentioned how much of your counselling know-how and psychology know-how washes into, or, you know, the Venn diagram of being a leader in a contact centre, and to that last point around knowing your people, how much of it has to come to bear. But maybe there's people listening that are just starting that leadership journey. What would be your recommendations to them?
So I would say, don't think that you need to be the expert with everything. And don't really change because you're now a leader. You're still the same person. Because what sometimes happens, I can remember my first role as a team manager, you know, I was lucky because I'd had a background, you know, but still it's quite tricky, isn't it? Because now you are leading people and people look to you, don't they, for support, for advice. And you've got a very, very large responsibility to people because you're in that position, whether you like it or not. You know, we're all people. Don't feel that I was any better than anyone else. However, sometimes people see you very differently depending on the type of person they are as well. They might be a little bit vulnerable and they seek out that leadership. So don't change the way that you are, or, you know, I'm too busy, I'm now too important to do the little things, because it's the little things that matter. So when somebody needs you, you still always be there, still be open. If you don't know something, just be really honest. You know, do you know what? I don't know, but I'm going to find out. Because we're first leaders. So what about if you take, or you have a really difficult conversation with somebody and you've never had that before? Because we're not always taught that initially. We become leaders and then we get training if we're lucky. So be vulnerable, you know, and be honest. And I think one of the biggest things as well as a leader, whether you're experienced or not, is, you know, I used to be amazed sometimes that I worked, say, for example, in the energy industry, because a lot of the things that I dealt with weren't about energy for people. It was about people. And as I became, you know, more skilled in leadership and things like that, you know, and I was supporting my managers, my new managers, what you sometimes find is that you take on a lot of a person's stresses and you worry about them and you try and solve things for people. And I think what my counselling taught me was that everybody has an inner strength. So as somebody who's supporting somebody at any level, it's important that you understand where you can signpost, where you can support people in different ways rather than taking it on yourself. Because if not, you go home at the end of the day with all of that. Now, in counselling, you had supervision, so you could offload. So it's important as leaders or anybody that you have somebody at work who you can confide in or be supported with. Sometimes it's not about doing something, it's about talking and offloading. So things don't always change, but how you feel about things change. So it's really important that we support each other at every level, whatever that may be.
I think that's a really, again, some lovely points, especially around what is leadership. You know, that kind of, when you're sharing it with new leaders, I think one of the surprises that sometimes they will have is that it's not an encyclopedic knowledge of the product, the process, answering those type of questions. That obviously makes up part of the role, but the bigger part is, as you so eloquently put, the people side of it, the kind of and the tax that takes on you around shouldering other people's worries. And I think, you know, I was definitely guilty of, especially early on, wanting to fix things quick. part of that was to feel good, you know, from a selfish point of view, like, oh, I want to fix things for this person. The other part was, if I help them and fix it, that they're going to be happier, they will enjoy work more. And having to deal with the fact that actually sometimes it's most, you know, it's not possible to fix some of these things quickly. You can't. And I love that you recognize that everyone has an inner strength, even when they're maybe at their most vulnerable or they seem a bit lost with a problem. But I think that kind of people element for some is a surprise. And I've worked with leaders who very much focus on the work side of it, the process, the systems, the performance, the KPIs, and are very closed off, have very, very clear, thick boundaries around, well, that's your personal problem. I don't want to have to deal with it. And again, to your point earlier about consistency, if you're in a team where someone is like that and you move to a team where someone isn't, it can be a bit disorientating.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, we are here for business, aren't we? So it is about getting that balance. And so that's why it's really important, I would say, that we don't take on too much of somebody else's issues. What you can get caught up with then is 50% of your day talking to people. That person is then unproductive and you're unproductive. So we still have a role to do. And so the KPIs, the knowledge, the processes are all really important. So that's why I feel that it's really important that you know what support that your business offer for people, whatever that may be, or externally, or, you know, check in with them. What support do they have? You know, where are they getting their support from? Because 9 times out of 10, they will be getting support from somewhere. I think it's also really important to set boundaries, because if you start having a conversation with somebody, you know, that conversation could last a couple of hours. You don't have a couple of hours as a manager. So setting those boundaries is really important as well. Being honest about what you can support with, they can't. Because one day you're maybe an agent, the next you might be a lead advisor, and then the next day you might be a team manager. And you're still the same person, just a different title.
And you said something very early on about kind of you were very much someone that sought out development, that you wanted to develop and progress. And I think generally speaking as an industry, and I know you guys at DDC are very good at providing loads of opportunities, but maybe there are people listening where that isn't so readily available or apparent, but they might be quite introverted or shy. How do you go about kind of getting that kind of development?
So for me, I mean, when I sometimes do some personal development, I like some books. So I've got one called What Color Is Your Parachute? Because I think sometimes when I'm supporting people or mentoring people, or people say, I want to develop, your first question is, what is it that you'd like to do? And there we get met with silence. So I think it's knowing what you'd like to do. So knowing yourself. And I think that's where we need to start as leaders. So what do you think are your strengths? What are you good at? And which are the areas where you feel that you might want some support? Again, people don't always know. So for me, I guide people to things like, what's a good career? What color is your parachute? Because these are all self-learning tools that can help you to identify yourself, what it is that you'd like to do. Just need to know what's important to you. You know, is it money that's important? Is it, because money's not always a motivator. So, you know, is it opportunities? What environment? And these types of books will help you with that. And sometimes for development, it depends on your life at that moment in time. So development might not be right for you right now. But for me, I'm just interested in something. Let's say, for example, I don't know, I'm going to be coaching somebody. I'd just go on the internet and I'd do book coaching and I'd be reading it. Everything, okay, what podcasts have we got to do? So I'm cooking away and I'm popping some podcasts on about coaching. I still do it. Obviously, I'd still do it. Sometimes I love to hear what different people have to say. And then, you know, when you've got the information, that's great. That's them. What about you? What bits are you going to take to make yourself a great coach or to be able to develop in an area? Because there's loads of theorists out there. There's loads of books, but we're all individuals. And we all take something slightly different to make the best version of ourselves. So I would start with understanding yourself and then starting to look on the internet. There's loads, the plethora of things out there that will help be able to help you.
And you said, so knowing yourself, knowing your people, the importance of knowing your people, and then thinking about how that manifests itself in coaching and support, that being okay with the fact that you're going to develop into a coach that best suits you and your team, rather than kind of a, it's got to be this, it's got to be that, this is the way you do it. You might have to follow a certain methodology or process, but you can still bring yourself to bear in that coaching format, can't you?
100%. Yeah, 100%. And there's loads of coaching theories out there, different coaching cycles. But it is about, I can remember having working with one person, still working in the contact center industry, actually. And we would have a laugh because I'd rock up my chair next to him, you know, in my early days, and he'd go, Joe, don't coach me, just tell me. You know? So, you know, he didn't want all the questions, you know, how did you feel that when, you know, what did your customer want from you, you know? What did you do to be able to support your customer? We would just go, just tell me if I've done it well. And if there's something you think I could do differently, just tell me. And so we just have a laugh about it, you know, because it is that conversation where some people would want more coaching. Or I might say to somebody, I'm not telling you I'm coaching you because I really want you to understand how well you do. So if I were to say to you what your strengths or what went well, you would probably say, I don't know. So let me help you with that. I also find some of my good performers, or the best performers, are the most consistent, you know, they just did the same thing day in, day out. If we have a challenge on, you know, let's do this or this from a KPI perspective back in the day, you don't tend so much to do it now, they would still perform consistently because they're just giving that right level of service every single time, and they're the best performers. When people are good performers and they want to develop, sometimes they can't explain why they're good. And so I help them see that. So I might say, well, this is a behavior. What do you feel that you did, you know, to be able to display this? And I would give them a few tips of things that I'd seen that get people thinking. They'd be like, oh, yeah, I can do that. I did, didn't I? You know, so, and it's just getting people to think about what great things they bring to the table. I think that really helps and supports people to start on their journey for development. And also things that, you know, they might be able to work on. So when you delivered this, you know, how did you feel when it didn't go so well? Why do you think that is? Oh, because of this. Okay, so what is it that you want to work on then? So talking about things that people could maybe, you know, work a little bit more on as well. So that's always good. And I think if you are in a team where everything is just good all the time, you don't really get a lot of development. It's really important that we share things that are in people's sort of blind side that they don't realize how it works so well. And I think that's a big key to being a leader. You can't be everybody's friend. So I talk about relationships and treat everybody with respect. Sometimes we need to have those difficult conversations. And I think it's very important that we don't shy away from those as leaders. And I can remember, usually if I ever used to have a new team manager, I think I was told this back in the day, we talk about frogs in a boiling pot. Have you ever heard that analogy?
No, go on.
Something like, it goes something like this. So if anyone's listened to this and goes, no, they don't do that, forgive me. So sometimes with leaders, we can be too friendly with our teams. We have to just stay that little bit above. So the analogy I might use is frogs in a boiling pot. So you put a group of frogs, okay, in a pan of cold water, and the water starts to get warmer and warmer and warmer and warmer. And eventually what happens, because frogs don't recognize an outside temperature, as I was told, could be wrong, they explode. Okay. Now, as a leader, what we need to do is we need to just sit on the ledge of that boiling pot. So as the temperature starts getting a bit hotter and hotter, as leaders, what we do is we go in there and we simmer it down again. And that's the analogy. So we keep that pot at a really good temperature. We don't get too into the pot or too way out of the pot so you can't see what's happening. So it's about getting that balance.
I love that. Please don't try that practically.
Some people might say, yes, that's not. But anyway, that was an analogy that I heard years and years ago. And I thought,
I love it.
Right.
You said something earlier as well that really stuck with me, was around if you've got good performers, sometimes the coaching is helping them understand why they are good. Uh-huh. And it definitely brought back memories of, it wasn't someone in my team because I was a contact center manager at this point, managing team leaders. And I was asking about some of the high performers, and they said, oh, we're going to go away and have a session and talk to one guy in particular. And the team leader came back and she said, he doesn't know why he's good. He just does. That's just him. And I have to admit, it kind of flummoxed us a bit at first. We're like, okay, well, maybe we can analyze the calls a bit more. Maybe we can go do stuff that didn't involve him. When in fact, it would have been better just to sit and kind of do some more coaching and some more helping somebody understand what it is about them that is good and what other things that they could still work on to keep them interested as well. Don't, you know, that kind of consistency, right? Like we said about leaders earlier on at the start, it's also the same with your performers. You want to keep them that way. You don't want to rock the boat too much, but they can still be developed. They can still be coached.
Yeah, 100%. So I am, obviously my time in contact centers, I've worked with some excellent performers, done the coaching and helped them to recognize why they're great and spoken to them about development. Oh, I'm not doing that. I can't do that. I can't do that. So I would tease them a little bit and get them to just support our new starters by listening in, a bit of floor walking and that type of stuff. And then people begin to like it, and a particular person began to like it. In fact, I'd opened her eyes to something different, because sometimes, you know, we're all different, but sometimes people are safe players and they stick to what they know. Mm-hmm. I think it's important that we recognize potential and we try and encourage that potential and give people exposure to what different things they could do, give people opportunities, even if they feel that they don't actually need them or want them at that time. And I think working in the team environment as a leader, you know, I don't know everything. I don't have the skills on everything, you know, but somebody's great at, I'll say, who's great at Excel? Who's good at this? Who's good at that? Brilliant. So, you know, can you help me with something, please? And they would go off and do something and then bring it back, you know, and we'd work and talk about that. So every single person has some great skills. I think it's just getting to understand your team and knowing what makes them tick and what you can help them with and what they can help you with. I think that as well really supports personal development and hooking into something that they enjoy doing, as well as giving people an opportunity to identify that actually they might want to do something different that would support their, you know, their career and enjoy.
And do you, when you're coaching coaches, do you, based on their experience level, work with them on their questions that they might want to ask and how best to frame a conversation?
Yes, definitely. I suppose in contact centers, the art of conversation is really important. I think we had this conversation some time ago. So let's just start there. So I'm somebody who's just got a role now in a contact center. And what we lean towards is the process. So do we then process? What we tend not to lean towards is about the conversation between two human beings. And so I create, you know, sort of frameworks for the conversation. And then what I would do from that is create conversations with the coaches to help the agents to identify the customer's needs and the type of conversation they would have. And then off the top of that, again, create something for coaches to be able to support that questioning skill. So I would give some hints and tips. I've created some sort of training for leaders as well on setting the right environment for coaching, getting to know your people, what types of questions can we ask. And don't forget as well, ask for feedback for yourself. So after each coaching session, how did you find that? Would you like me to do anything different in the future? How do you want us to work together? All those types of things are really important when you're coaching your coach as well. Do they want to get more sessions and that type of thing? So, yeah, there's so much information out there and so much that you can take. It's just really important that you understand who it is that you're coaching and understand you and making sure that you can work well together.
You mentioned something there. For coaching and making sure you get in the right environment, but not just for coaching. How important is it as a leader to create the right environment for your team? And I know that's kind of often associated with, you know, a safe environment, a safe space for your team. What does that actually mean to you?
So look, for me, probably go back to starting with the basics about making sure that as a leader, I am an approachable leader. Having that right personality and choosing my mood, should I say. So even if I'm feeling a bit stressed, I might just tell my team, oh gosh, I'm a bit stressed. I look like a butt grumpy face, guys. That's just, just the way we're going today. I think as well, it's really important that when people have suggestions in your team, nothing's off the table. Come on, guys, you know, it can be a wacky idea. Let's go for it. And we ensure that we're treating each other with respect as a team and individuals. So people can share things that they won't feel ridiculed, that no question is a daft question. And we talk a lot about psychological safety. So I do a little bit of work on psychological safety with my team as well. So we talk about psychological safety. We talk about as a team how we want to work together. So it's not just me as a leader. I would demonstrate that by creating an environment, but then we physically talk about this type of thing. And we talk about where we might have had an experience where we haven't felt psychologically safe. And what does that mean? And then how psychologically safe, how a psychologically safe team might feel. And we talk about that a lot. We talk about it in our reviews. How are you feeling? And getting that relationship, not just between me and the team member, but between the team. And it's vitally important. What you never want to happen to you, I've had this happen to me in the past, and you don't want to. You know, sometimes if you're just not feeling great, something's not going great at work, and you're frustrated and you need a bit of a vent, you need to be able to do that in a safe environment where, you know, 2 weeks later when you're in a review, that's not being brought back up again. Because we've all moved on. You know, have you ever had that?
Yeah.
And it doesn't define who you are. It's that moment in time when you struggle. And then we move on from it. And it's that type of environment that's really important. So all this is quite nice, but it's really important that we can challenge each other as well. But we can challenge each other in a respectful way where we might not agree with somebody. And that's fine as well. Yeah. As long as we know at the heart of it that we all want the right thing. So it's good to have that challenging conversation, throwing ideas out. And I think that's really important as part of the team as well.
Joe, you're aligned with Simon Sinek. I watched something of his yesterday, and it was about venting and how important that is for us psychologically. That and he was talking about it in the context of remote working and how that people need to be mindful that they still need to allow their team members to have that. That might be amongst themselves or with one other person, but it's okay. And it's not necessarily a sign of a negative environment or feeling in the team. Actually, you should look at it as a positive. You know, that it's a way of people kind of wringing out the sponge a little bit. You know, they're just, oh, I'm just in the moment and I wanna vent. That's fine. So yeah, Joe, you and Simon Sinek, you're...
So to add to that as well, I think it's really important that as leaders, somebody vents to you, okay? So let's say, Martin, we're working together, I'm your leader, you want to come and talk to me, okay? And you've had a right overrun, you're not happy about all sorts of stuff, we worked through it. And you go away, you're feeling great. So who's left with all of that now? Yeah, and this is where your leaders, it's really important that we set those boundaries and we recognize that people want to vent, they want to say things, we might not like what they want to say, and they feel better. And then what we do is we sit there worrying about it for a week. It's a bit like having children. Like my daughter's at university, she's having a really bad day. You know, she might ring me and say, oh, I'm having a really bad day, this is how I'm feeling. And then for the next, you know, couple of days, I'm worried about it. Yeah, you know, she's been out partying that valley, you know.
Yeah.
Because they've moved on. So this is where it's really important to change is that we recognize that we do need to let go and we have somebody to talk to. But venting is so important. Having somebody that you trust to vent to as well, where they're not going, oh, such and such said this and such said this. Because in that moment, it's important you've vented and you've moved on and taken a different mindset. Mm. So I like Simon's thinking as well. So yeah.
I think he would love you. I feel like this has been a coaching session for me. I've written down what color is your parachute. We've got the frogs. It's been like a learning experience, and I feel upbeat and positive. This is what you do, Joe.
Yeah, I do love to. You know, I say I only know what I know. Okay, I'm no expert in anything. You know, I don't have degrees and things like that. You know, I just know what I know through experience, through reading, through listening to other people. I suppose just having a moral compass and thinking, what do I think is right? So I'm not perfect. I'm sure that people have worked with before and think, oh, she's on one. But, you know, 9 times out of 10, you have great relationships with people. But I always think if something is going a bit awry with a relationship, what is it? So I always look inside first. But what have I done? So like as a leader, if you communicate and people go off doing all the different things, it's like, well, I mean, Peter's done this and Paul's done this. I think, actually, how do I communicate? Probably not the right way, you know. I think that's really important as well. And, you know, when you're working with people, as we all do, you know, sort of, you know, who may speak different languages, we communicate differently, we've got different cultures. And how one person receives a message might be how different to how another person receives a message. So that's always in my mind. So when we're looking at behaviours in work, I sort of a bit of a laugh. The communication is always something that I am conscious of. And if I'm looking at my behaviour, I'll always go, I'm always working on this. And people go, we communicate quite well, Joan. Why are you working on that? I'm always working on it. But that's my inner supervisor. I'm always constantly thinking how I'm communicating.
Well, you said at the outset, one of the things you want to do is make someone's day a little bit better after interacting with them. And you can count me definitely in that. You've made my day a little bit better. And I know people that would have listened would be. I love the fact that everything you've been talking about, I was lucky enough to spend some time with people you work with at DDC. They talk so highly of you, but also the environment and all of your language is so similar. So, because this is something that you live and breathe, it's really, really authentic, and it's great to see. And the takeaways for me being people are, you know, at the center of everything, knowing your people, having good coaching and support around them, and then creating that kind of that environment. Is there, as well as sort of seeking out this material, and no doubt, I'm sure you'll let people contact you if they want to know more. What other piece of advice would you give people?
In general or from a leadership perspective?
Whatever suits your fancy.
Whatever suits your fancy. Well, I did once go to a few seminars with motivational speakers, and one thing always struck with me, so you could always try this with your team. So, and you may have heard this before. So he was a great motivational speaker. I can't remember who he was because I'm not very good with names and my recall's not that great. But what he did say was, so we're leaders and we're coaching people. So what I want you to do is I want you to grab a pen and paper and I want you to write down the name of everybody in your team. First name, middle name, and surname, if they have one. Now I want you to write down their birthday. Write down their partner's name, if they have one. The children's name, if they have them. Their pet's names, if they have them. So there was a number of things he asked us to write down. Then he said, now think about the person. And if you were going to buy them a book, what book would you buy them? He said, when you know people on that level, you can then lead and coach them.
Wow.
So that's something that I always have in my head as well.
That's a great exercise because it does make you think, doesn't it? It just makes you think, oh, I'm not sure what my percentage score would be on this.
I've probably got it written down on an Excel spreadsheet because my memory is not as great as I used 20
years
ago. But
it's great. Yeah, it's good though.
It's that type of thing. So just know your people.
Joey, this has been fascinating. I hope we can do another one of these because we could maybe focus on a particular subject, but I've absolutely loved it. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for inviting me in the first one of 2024 as well.
I know.
Love that. I love it.
You've set the bar very, very high.
Ah, bless you.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Martin.
Episode to kick off the year. I hope you enjoyed that. I certainly took a lot away from it. Joe is awesome. Please do make sure you are subscribed on whatever platform you're listening to so you don't miss any other episodes. And don't forget, Get Out of Rap TV on LinkedIn, always on a Tuesday, 10 a.m. Thanks again to DDC OS. They're one of my partners, and if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be able to do things like this. Thanks very much and take care.